could lift. But I just was feeling kind of froggy, so I thought it was time to jump. Amen? So Matthew chapter 8, jump not from faith, but jump to faith. Amen? Matthew chapter 8, we're really going to just kind of breeze over today's introduction. Oh, come on, yeah. Yeah, you got to remind me of these things. Yeah, I know, but you got to remind me again. I'm 58 years old. And I'm thinking about the whole service. I got my mind on all kinds of things. All right, go ahead.
I'm still awake, so I picked up a pen and a page, and I started writing just what I'd say if we were face to face. I'd tell you just what you mean to me, tell you the simple truth. Be strong in the Lord and never give up. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live like a fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Last time we spoke, you said you were hurting, and I felt your pain in my heart. I want to tell you that I keep on praying, love will find you where you are. I know, 'cause I've already been there, so please hear these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I will say. From one simple life to another, I will say, come find peace in the mind. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. Thank God for each day, his love will find a way. These are the words I would say.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. God's awesome. Now get your Bibles out. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. It seemed like for about a month there, all I could get in prayer was it was talk about relationships. And now we're going to talk about one relationship in general. Matter of fact, it's the most important relationship you have. It's not with your children. It's not with your wife. The most important relationship you have is with who? God. Amen? If this is off, everything else is off. If this is off, your relationship with your wife will be off. If this is off, your relationship with your children will be off. If this is off, your relationship with your church, your relationship with people around you. If this relationship here is off, everything else will suffer. Amen? It's so important. That's why when we do priorities, God first, your wife second, then your children and your family, then church. If you get it in those orders, the church won't hurt, the family won't hurt, the wife won't hurt, and God won't hurt. But you got to get it in that order. Amen? It's very important. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 8. It started out as one sermon, and before I got through writing, it wound up being three. So we might get three out of this. If we don't, we'll go ahead and try to stretch it to five. All right. Matter of fact, I think a lot of reasons why a lot of people can't get along with anybody is because they can't get along with themselves. And if they can learn to get along with themselves, they can start getting along with everybody else a whole lot better. And one of the ways to get along with yourself better is to get along with God better. Amen? Amen. I heard somebody one day, I knew this one man that nobody could get along with, not even himself. And he looked in the mirror, I think he every time he looked in the mirror, he growled at himself. And he went and told some people what he thought one day. And as he was telling them what he thought about them, he said, God left me on this earth just to aggravate people and to make them mad. And I said, whoa. Okay, if that's what you believe, and considering the man was much older than me, I thought I'd just leave it alone. But I walked away and said, God, please open his eyes to his relationship with you first and then with others. But God, he's got to get this right. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Got your Bible, say amen. You don't say, oh me. That mime, the songs in that mime all point to this morning. Verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. When he was entered into a ship, remember, he got in first. Amen? He got in first. Somebody say he got in first. And his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. I don't think he was asleep because he didn't care. He was asleep because he's going to teach them some lessons on faith. Faith school, time for a faith lift. It's time to get your act together. It's time to understand your relationship with God quickly. Matter of fact, when your boat sinking, you better get it right. Amen. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Wow. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, what a man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him. Father, stretch forth your hands. Father, we love you, we praise your name, we thank you for your grace, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you've got all things in control, everything in control. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father. Help us, God, to absorb what your Spirit is sending today and that we're trying to receive. Your Spirit will send strong. It's up to us whether we receive it strong or not. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to put up our antennas. Help us, Lord, to put out the feelers. Help us, God, to reach up as you're reaching down and to know that our greatest relationship in this entire world, in our entire life, is with you. Lord, in the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down and tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Amen. I heard about this couple, John and Nancy. Okay? I had a couple other names in mind, and they'll know when I get telling this. John and Nancy were married for 40 years. They planned a second wedding to renew their vows. Nancy described to her friend the dress that she would wear. Nancy's friend said, what color shoes? And Nancy replied, silver. So John chimed in and said, yep, silver to match your hair. With a pointed look at John's bald spot, Nancy said to her friend, so I guess John's going to go barefoot. Amen. With faith, or faith of the size of a mustard seed. See that mustard seed? That's how big a mustard seed. Take your thumb and look at it. It's about the size of a head of a pin. With faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing is impossible. Y'all say nothing. Nothing is impossible. So here we go. Get ready. Look, today we're going to talk about a little dab will do you. Amen. Y'all remember that was Brill Cream, a little dab will do you? Okay. So and Stephen don't even need a dab. Amen. He gets some armor on and do it. Amen. All right, so here we go. I want you to know something. Think about something now. God, watch this. Each man according to the measure of faith he's been assigned. Ephesians 12:3. Back that up. Romans 12:3. Watch this now. Look. Every man and woman in this church, every man and woman in this world, even the atheist. Y'all say even the atheist. Even the atheists have been given a measure of faith. You know, an atheist is religious, of course. And you know, it takes more faith to not believe in God and to push aside his promises and to say that he's not here. It takes more faith to not believe in God than it does to believe in him. Isn't that something? So watch this now. Every man in this place, God has given every man a chore or a mission. John chapter 17, verse 18 in the mission says, in the same way that thou gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Everybody in here, the Bible says we're to preach and teach salvation to the entire world. We're to tell them about Jesus and to tell them about the things that he can do. So everybody in here has a chore. Amen? But not only has everybody here got a chore or a mission, everybody in here has a chance or an opportunity. The opportunity is to take it, or do we just push it on? You know, I like the game show where let's make a deal where you can take the money, or you can take door number one, two, or three, or you can take door one or door two, you pick, or whatever. But that's not the way it is. What it is God has given everybody a mission, and he puts it in our heart. He puts it in our mind. He lines us along the way so we can see it very clearly, whether we want to accept it or not. And then we have the opportunity to accept it. Remember, I used to love Mission Impossible. Your mission, Jim, if you should decide to accept it. I never saw one show where he said no. Did y'all? He accepted every mission. God has a mission for us, a chore and a chance. And then there's always, whenever you accept it, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be something come along that's going to try to disrupt, disprove God's call in your life and what God wants you to do. So there's challenges, but we have the confidence or an enabling faith to get it done anyway. God wants every one of us to understand no matter what the challenge that is set before us. I was talking to a lady yesterday. I was walking through the store, and the lady had just told me that her boss was quitting and said she may be getting this job as manager. And she said, I don't want it. And this woman was a Christian. And I said, well, the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And she says, yeah. I said, well, if you really understand that passage of Scripture, doesn't mean if I want to be a center for the Boston Celtics, I can do it. That's not what it means. It means God, when God puts the challenge in front of you, he enables you through faith and equips you through faith to do what he has challenged you with. So I told the lady, I said, let me tell you something. If they're going to put you as manager, don't worry, because you can do all things through Christ who makes you more than enough to meet the challenges. She said, I didn't look at it that way. Then I walked over and saw the manager. She said, I just need a break. And I said, well, hold on. She said, what? I said, you're not going to get a break. She said, what do you mean? I said, you got a new job coming, right? New challenges. She said, yep. I said, the Bible says that come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, Matthew 11:28, and I will give you rest. That word rest is an agricultural term, which literally means, watch this, and if somebody can get this in your head, you won't think God has boloed you when you thought you were getting rest. That word rest is an agricultural term, which literally means to rotate fields, to rotate crops. If you keep the same crop in the same field all the time, it will dry up the land. It'll kill the land. It'll kill the soil. So that's why you put different crops in there. So now the land can keep reviving itself. The same way, when God says he's going to give you rest, doesn't mean you're going to stop working. What it means is God's going to change the load. And when he changes the load, what it means is now you, with the change of load, can get a chance to breathe again. She said, wow, I didn't think about it that way. That's so awesome. I said, yeah, so God's got all this. We just got to trust Him. So now, Romans 12 and 3 says God has given every man the measure of faith. Every man, every woman. There's not a person in here, even the atheist. When somebody gets, look, what do people say when something very bad happens? Oh, my. Whether they're atheists or not, I've heard atheists go, oh, my God. I even looked at one guy one day and said, who are you talking to? Who are you calling for? And I remember there was two atheists I worked with at Procter & Gamble. And the night I quit Procter & Gamble to go into full-time ministry, I remember as I was walking away, I was on second shift. My boss man, who was an atheist, shook my hand. He had never told me this before. He said, I worked with you for years. He said, you know what's happened since I've watched you? I said, what? He says, I've changed my mind. There is a God, and you know Him. And I'm glad to know you, and I'm glad to know God now because of that. Let me tell you something. God's got something for everybody, and everybody has a measure or a degree of faith. And also, the Bible clearly tells us in Matthew 17 and 20 that faith is a grain of mustard seed. If you just had that little bitty faith, and I'm pretty sure Jesus was actually showing them, here's the mustard seed, and He points to that mountain, and He says that mountain will be picked up, plucked up, and moved into the sea. Can you imagine? When they're looking at that mountain and looking at that mustard seed, Jesus says, oh, it only takes a little dab. A little dab. A little dab. Matter of fact, I believe some of us could get a breakthrough if we kept looking for some great big thing and understand all it takes is a little dab. Ain't got to be some great big bulldozer coming in. Just hold on with faith and believe that God's going to do what He said He was going to do. So realize that every one of us has a chore. But not only do we have a chore, look at this. Satan knows we have a chore too. And because he knows we have a chore, his chore that he has chosen is to put stumbling blocks in our way and to build walls. If you're having walls building relationships and walls building your life, you better start looking because more than likely, Satan is behind it. If you see stumbling blocks coming your way, it's okay because God is still in control. Here's his weapons. Watch this. His weapons are distractions, distortions, and divisions. He will either try to distract you from your purpose, or he will distort your purpose so that you're doing something absolutely opposite of what you're supposed to be doing, or he will cause divisions within the group to cause it not to come to pass, because his ultimate purpose is to stop you. So if you're having, listen, if you've got distractions, and it's easy to get distractions, you know, the other day I went to the house to get something. I was trying to move from Possum Track to Slatestone, and I went to the house and my phone kept ringing. So while my phone was ringing, somebody had died, and I was trying to take care of the funeral arrangements. So I got the funeral home calling, the people calling. I got some other things going on, and Bethany was stopping me every couple of minutes. Dad, what about this? What about this? And so, by the time I went there for one specific thing, and by the time I got home, I didn't have it. I had 100 items, but not the one I went for. Because of distractions. So I went back a second time. I said, I'm going to get it this time. And I got in there, and here it goes again. I'm on a phone call. I'm talking with somebody. I'm counseling somebody. I'm doing something, blah, 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 blah. And I start walking out the door a second time. And still didn't have it. I said, this can't happen like this. So I go and I start looking for it. And now I go pick it up. And as I look and see it picking up, I saw something beside it. I said, that's pretty cool too. I pick it up and start walking out. I said, wait a minute, that's not what I came for. See, we get so easily distracted. Not only distracted, but distortions. I mean, let me tell you something. Somebody's done you wrong and all of a sudden Satan distorts it. It makes a molehill look like a mountain. We have all kinds of things we want to know in our life, all kinds of things we want to see and want to do, and because it doesn't happen the way we want it to, Satan distorts it. And when he distorts it, the third thing, division. If he can keep division between us, then he's got us. Because all we're doing is taking care of our distortions and our distractions in between us instead of going out and doing what we're supposed to do. I ask God every day, God, don't let me get distracted. I know they're happening. They're everywhere. God, help me not to get distracted and definitely not get distorted. And Father, help me stay away from any divisions. So now, we all realize we had this chore, but I've got to give you a warning. This isn't easy. Matter of fact, with his challenge comes problems. Watch this. Within that night, the first problem was it was an uneasy task. It was an exhausting day. You know, one day I remember not long ago, Beth and I went to Walmart. I said, I'll go at 11 o'clock. That way I won't see anybody. I can get what I need and I can go on home. I've been there 5 minutes. Bethany said, yeah, Dad. I went down an aisle and the guy stopped me. I talked to him for a few minutes. I went down another aisle and the guy says, I'm having problems with my wife. I talked with him. I went down another problem and he says, I'm having problems with Jesus. Can you help me out? By the time we finally left, I think we'd been in the store an hour and a half. And in one aisle, there was like five guys standing there. All together in a big circle. And Bethany's walked out. Bethany says, 5 minutes, huh, Dad? But see, everybody, listen, it was an exhausting day. I was so tired. I figured if we went at 11, everything was going to be all right. But you know what? The challenges were still coming. And I believe with all my heart, if I'd have gone there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it'd have come right up to me because that was something. My assignment for that day was to minister to those guys. Problem number two, not only was it an exhausting day, an uneasy task, but next, it was an uneasy time and there was a severe storm. You know, I used to think when I first started ministering, I used to think the life of a preacher was hunky-dory. Man, these guys walk around, everybody respects you. You got everything going for you. I mean, people are going to, this just seems to be such an awesome life. God speaks to you directly. All you got to do is get in the pulpit and God goes, there it is. And you speak and just, it's like, whew. And then I became a pastor. And I found out preaching was the smallest part of the whole thing. Wow. Time after time, going to jails, going to prisons, going to getting people out, going to the hospitals, going to going into the morgue and helping identify somebody, standing there with a man whose baby had his wife had just been hit in a steering wheel. Another guy got blinded by the sun. Another good guy blinded by the sun and went this way and swerved. His wife swerved to keep from hitting him. She was 6 months or 7 months pregnant. And she went to swerve to keep from hitting him. And she hit a tree and the steering wheel hit the baby. I'm having to go to service. I go there and I stop and I'm thinking, I don't know, I thought for just it was going to be a small wreck. I get there and find out what's going on and find out. I had to call somebody. I said, look, somebody's got to have service tonight because here I am. And I get there and she the cabinet Williamson and said, I think she can have the baby. It'll be all right. But they called in East Care. And while they called in East Care, on the way to East Care to Greenville on the helicopter, the baby's heartbeat stopped and they couldn't get it back. And a couple hours later, my wife was in there pumping blood, literally pumping, squeezing blood in mama while she gave birth to a dead baby. And then they come to me and the daddy, and they come to daddy to show him the baby. And the baby looked normal. It just was dead. And he had his little toboggan on. And I prayed with him and the baby. And he looked at me and held that baby up and said, why? 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 And I had no answers. All I could do was hold him and the baby and cry right there with him. You see, all of us have challenges in our life. And if you think everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be smiley and you watch TV and you watch Andy Griffith show and think it's so easy, all you got to do is get Barney out of the way. Get Gomer over here and everything's all right. I even watched Andy Griffith one day talk later, years later down the road. And he said, you know what? Everything looks so simple down there. He said, but you know what? If I really had a Barney and a Goober and a Gomer and a Floyd in my life, I'd kill all four of them. Life has its challenges. And life hurts. Amen? But then problem number three, when you send him on this ship, watch this. It's an unending temptation. The sinking ship and a sleeping Savior. This is knocking on somebody's door right now, knocking so loud you can't hear anything else but knock, 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 knock. Because you feel like your ship is sinking and Jesus is sleeping. Where's he at? Why hasn't he done something? Why is he sleeping and I'm sinking? The Bible also says his head was laid on the captain's seat or laid up on the pillow up on the where they steer, which means that's the captain's seat. So the captain's asleep. at the helm of the ship, or at the, excuse me, at the I can't even call it now. It's there. Thank you. What's going on? Jesus was trying to not tear their faith down, but to build it up. You got to remember some things. Watch this. The Bible tells us that Jesus led them right into the storm. You think Jesus was surprised? You think Jesus had to say, stop, let me look at the weather channel. Who's got a cell phone with a smartphone so I can look at the weather channel? He led them into the storm. They followed him right into the crisis. Sometimes I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, God, I'm following you. I know I heard your voice. I did what you said. And it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. I don't understand. I did what you said. Why is it getting worse? God's will isn't always smooth sailing. Matter of fact, if everything was smooth sailing, smooth seas make a weak captain. So, watch this. So here's the challenge. It's problems, problems, problems. Let's look at it. I love that. We walk by faith, not by sight. Did y'all read that? We walk by faith, not by sight. Praise the Lord. So there's the challenge. They're in this storm. Things are really, really bad, but here's the chance. Now I have an opportunity to step in faith and step toward the problem. You know, I got up yesterday morning and my shoulder, I couldn't even move it. It was just stuck. And so I moved my shoulder back down slowly. I got it back where I could move it a little bit, and then the back of my neck and my back. And so I'm trying to get all these things right. And Bethany said, just lay right there, Dad. Stay right there. And I said, no. Then Linda said, well, don't be moving all around. I said, no. I said, first off, I know better, too. Look at what the hospital says. Try to move. And I said, I know good enough by now that if I lay down in my pain, it will remain. Ow. If I lay down in my pain, it's going to remain. Matter of fact, no, it's going to remain. It will go from being temporary to permanent. You got to move. You got to keep your arms going. You got to keep your body moving. You got to keep exercising that faith. If you don't exercise that faith, you're going to see what's going to happen. It's not going to be pretty. Matter of fact, here's some things about faith, the opportunity of faith and learning about faith. Faith is not a heavenly credit card. Faith is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. If it is, we know a lot of guys will be going home Thursday night. Our bus will be full coming back. Hey, man, you give me a ride? You got to watch how you get those guys rides, too. Ask those guys. You see Brandon laughing. There's Doug. Yeah, y'all were there the day we picked that man up. Woo! Matter of fact, we've told it so much, Patrick wasn't even there, and Patrick can tell it better than we can. We've told it to him so much. Okay. All right. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Watch this. Faith is the heartbeat, the driving force that invites God and His power into any situation. You've heard me say it before. I used to pastor a pilot. The pilot told me when he was in training, he said, he came and told me, he said, Pastor, you might want to use this sometime. I said, well, I said, he said, when I was in training, he says, and Steve, you probably had the same training where if you're going down and you're trying to correct it, it's not going to, you're going to mess up. And it's in a spin, let go. The plane is supposed to correct itself. Now, if it don't correct itself, bye-bye, Miss American, bye. He said it corrects itself. So many times we're so busy trying to fix it that we increase the breakage. We spend so much time trying to fix it that we might fix one thing but tear up something else. The best thing to do when you can't fix it is to let go and let God do it. The driving force. I'm inviting God. God, I can't do it anymore. I just can't handle it. Hebrews 10:33, the just shall live by faith. That word faith is faithfulness, which means it's a lifestyle. You're actually giving it to God. I'm almost through. Did y'all hear me say almost? If y'all have really strong faith, So watch this. Look, back up. Back up. We're not going to skip any. We can't skip any. There you go. Faith takes Satan's stumbling blocks and walls and accepts them as challenges. I've learned a long time ago, you keep backing away from it. Keep backing away from it. Number one, you'll never grow. And number two, you'll never see what you can do. A long time ago, I learned the difference in a shepherd and a hireling. A hireling's in it for himself. A hireling's in it for the money. The hireling is in it just to get what he can get out of it. And when things get rough, the hireling's gone, but the shepherd's there. The shepherd lays down with the sheep. The shepherd makes the door. He is the door. There's a big difference. And God asked me a long time ago, do you want to be a hireling or a shepherd? And I watched, there were some of my friends in the ministry. They were hirelings. They were all the time jumping up, all the time running, all the time doing this mess. And I said, God, I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a shepherd. He said, then get ready. And here it went. Take the stumbling blocks and walls and accept them as challenges. That's what they are. Watch this. Here we go. We're getting down to the home stretch. Watch this. I want y'all to say this with me. Read that out loud. Faith in God doesn't make things easy. It makes them possible. One more time. Faith in God doesn't make things easy. It makes things possible. Because if that had been easy, those guys wouldn't have been in that ship. If it had been easy, everything would have been hunky-dory. No. It was hard. Their life was actually being threatened. Oh, I love that. When Satan sees me, that's what I want him to see. How about you? Ready for battle. My sword is not in its sheath. My sword is drawn. My shield's up. I'm wearing my coat of mail. Let's rip. Amen. What does it say now? Let it rip, tater chip. There you go. So watch this. Watch. Here's the confidence of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. There's three major things in your life. Worship. Abel shows us what worship will do. Walk. Moses shows us what a walk can do. And warfare. Others are empowered to do what they had to do. In your life is worship, walk, and warfare. Worship, walk, and warfare. Worship, walk, and warfare. Get them in that order. Keep them in that order. You worship first. You get that connection with God first. You got to worship is more than just you singing some songs. It's you connecting with God. It's you getting God together, you and Him together. Worship's getting your mind in the right order. Worship's getting your attitude in the right order. Worship's getting your spirit in the right order to receive. And once you receive, you start walking for God. And when you start walking for God, you can believe Satan's going to come against you, and Satan's going to do anything he can to disrupt that walk, to distort that walk, to divide that walk. So here we go. Watch this now. So, the smallest measure can move you from the impossible to the possible. The smallest measure. That's some powerful stuff. The smallest measure. I didn't say the largest measure. The smallest measure can move you. Here we go. Let's keep on going on this theme. I'm almost through. Wow. That picture just captivated me. Can you imagine being on that ship? Jesus is a carpenter and a preacher. All those other guys, a lot of those guys knew, supposed to know what they're doing, and they're scared to death. But Jesus gets up and takes care of business. You see, this is a face. In this story, there's two rebukes. I'm getting ready to close. Here's the two rebukes. First, he rebukes the storm. And then he rebukes the disciples. Let that sink in. First, he rebukes the storm. It sets down. Then he turns around and rebukes the disciples. What's going on, y'all guys? Don't you trust me? Don't you know I'm here? But you're asleep, Lord. No. I'm here. You don't seem to be as worried about this as we are. Matter of fact, you're so calm about the thing, you're asleep. And we're trying to fight our way out of it. Let that one sink in for a minute. They're fighting for their life, doing everything they know to do, and it's not good enough. And Jesus is asleep because he's so calm in the whole situation. Matter of fact, in other words, there are two rebukes in this storm. There's two calmings. First, there's a calming without the sea, and there's a calming within the disciples. You see, I love this. Sometimes all you need is faith as big as a mustard seed, and God will do the rest. Watch this. There's a difference in little faith and faith as a grain of mustard seed. I'm going to tell you. Jesus didn't say, after he rebuked the wind, "Hey, y'all, why you have little mustard seed faith?" No. He said, "Y'all," well, he didn't say y'all. He wasn't that southern. "You, ye of little faith." So watch this. Quick like, well, I love that. There's a little formula. How many like to do math? Me plus faith times the grain of a mustard seed size equals mountains moved. Isn't that cool? Me plus faith the size of a seed moves mountains. So watch this. Here it is. He said, "Ye have little faith, not ye have little mustard seed faith." Here's the difference. That word "little" literally means puny. What he said was, "Ye of puny faith." Not little faith, puny faith. Not just little as a mustard seed in size. He's talking about now attitudes. He's talking now about self, how you see yourself. Puny. 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 And watch this. Mustard seed faith has confidence in God. Little faith has confidence in self. You say, "Well, why'd you say that?" Both of them are faith in God, yeah, but hold on. If I've got mustard seed faith, I put it in God's hands. If I've got little faith, I put it in my hands. I can't handle it. How many here got situations right now you can't handle? Let go of it. Let go. Why have puny faith and grab a hold of it? When you have a powerful mustard seed faith and just give it to God. Here, God, you take it. Just take it. Watch this. The difference, too. Mustard seed faith, there's a conviction in your heart that God's bigger than that problem. With puny faith, there's a confusion. There's a conviction that there's a problem bigger than God. I had a problem not long ago, and I'm riding down the road, and I'm praying about it. And I said, "This is a big one, Lord." He said, "For you." For me? Yeah, it's not big for me. For 4 days and 4 nights, Goliath is taunting the children of Israel in the morning and at night. So they wake up to it, they go to bed with it, being taunted. Some of y'all in here, you're waking up to the junk. You're going to bed with the junk on your mind. That's what Satan wants to do. Just like Goliath. Goliath means beheader. He wants to take your mind and just soak it in that junk that's about to drive you crazy. So you wake up with it. You go to bed with it. Twice a day, Goliath's coming. In the morning, in the night, we're going to take care of this. When they wake up, the first thing you're going to hear is the tauntings of Satan. When they go to bed at night, the last thing they're going to hear is the tauntings of Satan. So they're not even going to get a good sleep. And all they could think of was Goliath's bigger than God. Then little old David comes along and says, "Wait a minute, my God's bigger than Goliath." I told you last week, remember, they were talking about Goliath, the challenge, Goliath, the champion, Goliath, the giant. And David didn't call him a giant. All David called him was an uncircumcised Philistine, which meant you're not of the covenant, I am. And my God's bigger than you. He said, "I'm going to take you and I'm a boy, I'm going to wipe you up and I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air, I'm going to cut your head off." And David said, "No, that's getting ready to happen to you, buddy." You see, when you have puny faith, He's taken out of God's hands. You got it in your own hands. Now you don't have confidence in yourself. You say, you're saying, well, wait a minute. No, yes. Mustard seed faith, you've got confidence in God. Puny faith, you've taken it from God and you're trying to fix it yourself. And you can't do it. And then you've got begin to think, well, that problem's bigger than God. Well, it wouldn't be bigger than God if you take it out of your own hands and give it back to God. You've heard me talk about the mouse and the elephant walking over the bridge. That bridge just shook as it walked over the bridge. When it got to the side, that mouse looked over at that elephant and said, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? That mouse didn't shake that bridge. The elephant did. And finally, you got mustard seed faith, you're going to see conquest. You're going to see gain. The Bible says go back and take what the devil stole from you. And if the thief has found out, he's got to restore sevenfold what he took. We live in what ifs and whatevers and whatevers and all kinds of junk. And we need to just take the slate, wipe it clean, look at God and say, God, here you go. I can't figure this out. I remember in engineering class back before they, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how far back it was when I went to engineering school. It was the first or second year we were using slide rule or scientific calculators. And they've been using slide rules up to this point. Yeah, y'all, look. My calculator was so big, it looked like I was carrying a knapsack on my side. A TI 35, I think. And that 35 was how much pounds it weighed. And we had to have a class just to figure out how to use the calculator. And I remember one of the engineers was teaching us, and he had this was a great big classroom, and there was these long chalkboards. This chalkboard went the whole length of this great old big room that was a lab, too. And then it went the length of the other wall. So you had like an L. There was a big old, and he was teaching us some problems. And he took one problem. He talked out the side of his mouth, and he took that thing and he would do like this. And we're writing as hard as we can write. And he's going, you take this, cosine, sine, blah, 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 these dimensions, blah, 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 blah. And he's filled that board up. And now he's halfway on the other board. And we're writing as hard as we can write. And he goes, well, fellas, I think I messed up. And he took his arm and he just started erasing till about halfway of the other board. So then we had to find where he stopped at and start over again. And then you start again. And sometimes we'd have tests that would last hours on one problem. And I remember that very, very distinctly. But you know what? God don't stop in the middle and say, fellas, I think I messed up. Matter of fact, he says, I want you to erase all of this. Sit back and let me fix it. You know, it's so cool. I'm a DC have an electric problem. He's in there trying to fix it. It's DC, just go in the office. I'm going to take care of it. Then I got a problem with some other things. And DC says, Daddy, just go sit down. It's really cool now because let me tell you something. Here, listen. If you're with somebody, they're always needy. They're always needing, but they're never feeding you. You got a problem. That's a one-sided relationship. Unless it's a baby, you can't help that. But a baby is still going to be feeding you because just watching them and being there with them and they're hugging you. But if you're in a relationship where they're only feeding, when they're always needing but never feeding, watch it. If you got a relationship where they're needing, but they're also feeding, and then you're needing, and you're also feeding, then you got a good relationship going, whether it be in a marriage, whether it be whatever, you got it going on. And so that's like DC, like I said, I'm sitting here trying to figure this out, and DC says, Daddy, I like the car. I'm trying to figure this out in the car, and DC's the body man. DC says, Daddy, just leave and get all figured out. Or go into shop, and he goes and says, well, I got this figured out, son. Daddy, step back here. And there. went to the shop one day and he said, Daddy, you need a metal one. I said, well, they're too expensive. He says, I know they are, but watch this. And I walk in the office. He says, stand here and hold like you're holding your Bible. I said, like this. He said, okay. He said, I said, what you need that for? He says, never mind. And a couple nights later, he came in and brought this. Now I could have done this. But it would have been like some of the electrical work DC done. Yeah. Yeah, last time DC did electrical work on his house after he woke up, he called me. He's like, look, I think I'm kidding. Look at him. Feeding and needing. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He's not needy. He wants to feed you. He wants to take care of your problems. But you got to let him. Matter of fact, here, look at this. Watch out. I got a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. Take it out of your hands. Give it back to God. Remember, God's bigger than your problem. And watch conquest. Addition, not subtraction. Unless subtraction is what God's will is. DC, come on up here. Y'all got BJ, come on up here. Everybody stand. There's some people in here right now. You need to let go of your problem. Quit trying to fix it. Because I can tell you right now, you can't fix it. And if you could fix it, you wouldn't fix it right. You gotta give it to God. Get rid of the puny faith. Get that faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. It had to be big. God didn't say you had to have a great big old big faith. He said a mustard seed faith. You can make a mountain move. Some of y'all got mountains in here and you out there with your excavators and your bulldozers and your shovels and you're trying to move it. I remember one time when we first moved to Possum Track, I got him dumped some rock in the driveway and it dropped two dump loads full of rock, and all I had was three shovels. So I got one shovel, DC a shovel, and Daniel a shovel. And we were out there shoveling two truckloads of rock. And my uncle rode up with his tractor and said, what are y'all guys doing? I said, well, this is all we got. He says, why don't you come to me? He says, I got what you need. And we put the shovels down and took his tractor with the scraper, the blade, and we had it done in a matter of an hour or two. And we've been working the same for a couple of nights. Just have a couple of nights, have some time. We do it, go back, eat supper. The next night we do a little bit. And it took us forever. My uncle comes and says, what are y'all doing? Y'all are not equipped for this. I got it. Trust me. Our father's saying the same thing. Put the shovel down and let me handle it. Quit trying to fix it. Give it to me with that grain of mustard seed. Watch what God can do. The altars, I'm opening up right now. The altars are open. You can come pray. You got a need from God? Come and talk to Him. You just want to thank Him? Come and talk to Him. You need to lay the shovel down. Lay the hammer down and give it to Him. Come and do it. Quit trying it on your own. When God sees you, does He see the mustard seed or does He see the puny side? God, I'm trying to fix this and it's not working. I've had problems in my own life and I tried to fix it. And all I did was just make one side worse than the other. When I get one side fixed, the other side messes up. I try to fix the other side messes up. God said, take your hands off and let me fix it. We don't have all the answers. We're going to go to heaven with unanswered questions. We're going to go to heaven with unresolved conflicts because we have to give it to God and trust Him in all of it. And quit not living just because of that. Keep living. Keep moving. I got a lot of questions I want to ask. I got a lot of questions I want answers to, and I don't have them. But it don't stop me from living. It's just something I'm going to have to ask God when I get to heaven. But by the time I get to heaven, it won't matter anyway.
Bless this mighty man of God in the name of Jesus. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
I started bringing some mustard seed and pass them out, but then I thought about it. What are you going to do with the mustard seed? It's going to get lost by the time you get out the door. So just keep that in your mind. That's how big a mustard seed is. Tell the devil you got a mustard seed and you're not afraid to use it. Amen. This Tuesday night, we're going to do something a little different. We didn't have last week because of Halloween, but Tuesday night, the floor's open to ask a biblical, and it's got to be biblical and legitimate, a legitimate biblical question. We had it the week before last, and everybody liked it so much, they will say, well, can we do it again? So we're going to do it again. A legitimate biblical question. It can be about you and God. It can be about relationships. It can be whatever. A legitimate, I can't say that enough. A legitimate biblical question. Y'all come and look what happened. Look what, something good is going to take place. Amen. All right, Brother Steve, just miss us in prayer, please.
Father God, we just praise you, Lord, and just thank you for the message today. Lord, we pray that as we run into problems, Lord, that we remember no problem is too big for you. And teach us, oh Lord, just to give it to you and let you handle it, because we will only mess it up. Bless each and every one that's here today, Lord. Bless them mightily. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.